just dusting off the cobwebs off my microphone. Thank you so much for tuning into the Good Glow today. I know it's taken me a long time to bring a new season of the Good Glow to the world, but I really believe in quality over quantity, and I have worked so hard over the last couple of months to get some really special guests together, and we are going to tell some incredible stories on the Good Glow this season. I promise you that. This season, I'm so proud to say I have teamed up with ReproMed, Ireland's leading fertility clinics, once again. Having been through the process of IVF myself, I understand how daunting and difficult a fertility journey can be. With clinics in Dundrum, Dublin and Marhoon and Galway, their world-class team offer the expertise, empathy and compassionate care needed to help and support you. Dr. Hans and his team have high levels of success due to their experience and expertise, with 120 years combined fertility experience and passion to help their patients grow their family. You can visit repromed.ie, which is packed full of information on IVF, egg donation, fertility preservation, and so much more. Suzanne Jackson on the Good Glow. I am so excited to bring this episode to you. This is all about new beginnings for Suzanne, a next chapter, a side of Suzanne we've never seen before. And I walked into the interview expecting her to be one way and came out and was like, whoa, Suzanne is on a new journey. Before I get into it, I wanted to tell you about the house on the hill. So I was away in Mallorca for a couple of weeks, and every night we'd go down to the port. We were in this old fishing village, and we'd sit down for dinner. There was like four or five restaurants in a row, and we'd pick a different one every night. And I'd look up at the cliff and I'd see these 10 houses in a row. And I remember thinking they were so gorgeous. Imagine owning a house that looked over the water in such a peaceful place. And yeah, I remember just gazing up at the houses on the first night I was there. And then at 9:20, the lights came on in one of the houses, and it was so beautiful that it actually took my breath away. I remember saying to Jamie, it was like something out of The Great Gatsby or something. These beautiful, beaming, orangey lights. It was like a sunset. It was just so warm, so calming. And over the next few nights, I noticed that every night at 9:20, this house lit up and all of the other houses stayed dark. And I'd see people in the restaurants discussing the house and taking pictures of it and looking up at it. It had such an incredible effect on everyone that was around it. And I remember thinking to myself on the last night, because I was so grateful to have, you know, seen this house every night and just to witness the beauty of it. But I remember thinking about these lights and saying, you know, we all have the power to shine bright. We all have the power to light up the world around us if we choose. That's when people start to notice you, when you let your light shine bright. Because when you become important to yourself, well, I've said it a million times, we all know by now that that's when other people think you're important. So this week, do yourself a favor and let your light shine from the inside out and watch how the world responds. Now over to someone who is really letting their light shine bright these days, Suzanne Jackson. Suzanne, well, there's a few things that I couldn't believe Suzanne was saying in the podcast. And, you know, I think she's so honest in it. And it's a side of Suzanne that we're not used to, because I think when we look at Suzanne, we see like fortune and beauty and wealth and all of these amazing, incredible things. But actually Suzanne wants to be seen as more than the empire that she's built. And there would be absolutely nothing wrong with her sitting in everything she's created and being completely happy with that. But actually Suzanne now has turned over a new leaf, and Suzanne wants to help people. Suzanne wants to find purpose outside of the cosmetics industry. And she said it's time for her to give back. And she's doing that with her Talking is Medicine platform. Every 2 weeks, you get a free newsletter straight into your inbox. She's got incredible people writing for her. If you enjoy the Good Glow, I'll give you a little hint. You might enjoy the next newsletter. So I'm going to leave a link in the episode show notes. Please sign up to support Suzanne. This is fully funded by herself. She's got a team together. It's really, really good. So congratulations, Suzanne. I'm so excited for your next chapter, and thanks for sharing it with us. So I hope you enjoy this podcast, and let me know what you think.
Hello. I'm sitting in your spare room in Portugal, taking it all in. Thank you for opening your doors. You're always so welcoming. Do you have to work at that, or is that your go-to? Do you get that from your mum?
Yeah, no, it's in my personality, it's in my genes. I've always been very open and welcoming, and like, even if I sit down and have a drink with you, like, I'll tell you my whole life story, you know, like, I'm very open and welcoming, and you have to be. Life is short, but it's always been in my genes. I suppose it probably goes back to when I did Irish dancing from a very young age. You kind of had to just talk to people, and then I was a beautician. You have to talk to people, like random people that just come in for a treatment. You have to have conversations. So I think I'm just programmed to just be able to have a conversation with anyone and be able to also get a bit deep with people quite fast as well. So that's a bit of a skill I think I have. But no, I like being welcoming. I think it's nice, and it's great to see you guys. It's been so long.
Yeah, and you had a beautiful spread laid out. We were sitting outside and I don't know, like when I got off the plane today, it was almost like I just took a deep breath. I just feel calm out here in Portugal. There's just something about it. Like, what does it give you?
The exact same thing. It makes my mind just slow down. I just literally feel at ease. I don't know if it's the light, the air, but I just love how laid back this culture is over here. Like, the Portuguese are very chill, and I just love the healthy lifestyle over here in Quinta do Lago area. Everyone's just up early, they're chirpy, they're going to the gym, they're eating well. And like, I know that sounds a little bit, oh well, yeah, that's great for you, what about the rest of us kind of thing. But I do think you can adapt those elements in your life wherever you are. But for me, before I came here, I suppose 3 or 4 years ago, I was eating really bad food. I wasn't in the gym. But when I came out here, I kind of fell into that routine naturally, because that's what everybody out here does, particularly when you're living here for a couple of months. And I think it just made me feel better within myself. My head got clearer because I was in the gym. I was eating better foods, which we all know has massive impact on, I suppose, our thoughts, our thought process. And I was able to just de-stress from work. Because I feel when you work remotely, you don't get so caught up as you might when you're at home. When you're at home, the doorbell's going, your friends are calling in, my mother's arriving up. You know, I can't get into a proper structure when I'm at home because there's always something going on. There's an event that night, there's a press launch. Where when I'm here, I literally just can focus on my work, focus on my lifestyle, you know, habits. And just unwind, recharge. And that's why I keep coming back here. And I was never that type of person up until about 2 or 3 years ago. I really didn't live a healthy lifestyle. I just have made better choices in the last 2, 3 years. And it's really, I suppose, benefited me in many ways than one.
What was the shift? Why?
Well, I suppose we always wanted to look at retiring abroad, living abroad. We've been coming here on and off for about 6 years and we just loved it here. And for us, it was just like more like home from home. When we start coming back every summer, we're starting to stay longer and longer and longer. And now we're here until Christmas. So
are you?
Yeah. Now, I will be forward and backwards, obviously, with my work commitments. But the real shift was probably the real shift, I'd say, was last year. That's when I really noticed my whole self changing. Last summer, I was in the gym and I was really committed. Like, normally when I join a gym or something fitness related, or even, you know, I was trying to eat better, I fall off the bandwagon. And I still do. But I normally would fall off and I wouldn't get back on it for months. Where now, since last year, since I got into the gym here in the campus, I'm just much more fitter mentally and physically, and I feel good. And then obviously Dancing with the Stars came along in September, October last year. And we had been out here all summer. So I was going from this gym fitness regime into Dancing with the Stars, which was even more fitness and more, I suppose, releasing those endorphins and feeling good. And I was like, right, we're going straight back to Portugal and finish Dancing with the Stars, because that's the place I feel most like myself in. Does that sound weird?
But do you feel like you're kind of left alone here? Because when we were at the VIP Style Awards, and we're friends, right? So whenever we see each other, we'd always say hi, we'd stop for a chat.
I felt like at the Style Awards, I couldn't get near you. Like, it was almost like there was a crowd around you, and then you go there and then you go there. And that night I was like, I can't even approach Suzanne, because there is just not madness around you, but there is a lot going on around you.
Yeah.
So here, I suppose you can probably just be.
Yeah. And actually, you probably have just picked something out there that I haven't even acknowledged myself, but actually is so true. It actually is that I haven't even thought of that's the reason why maybe I am here, but that's partially it, because you are left to your own devices here, and you can just go in and have a burger or have a chips or go for a breakfast in the morning. We're at home. People would be around me a lot, and you know, even when you go in places, people will be watching everything I'm doing, and it sometimes you just feel a little bit you can feel uncomfortable, you know. But yes, at the VIPs it was a bit chaotic to say the least, but probably because I don't go to a lot of events, you know. So when I do go to events, there's a lot of journalists there. They'll want to have a chat, or people want to come up to me and congratulate me maybe on Dancing with the Stars, and I love that. But when I come out here, I do feel a sense of I can be Suzanne.
How would Dylan describe you? Because, you know, from the outside in, like, obviously Dylan adores you. You adore Dylan. I think that's very obvious. So when I describe you, Suzanne, I'm like, she's so glam. She's so fun. She's so kind. But like, how would Dylan describe you?
A busy bee that never sits down. He's literally like, Suzanne, you don't stop. Like, I'm up, I'm down, I'm on the phone, I'm always thinking of new ideas, new business ideas. I'm always like, you know, I'm just a mile a minute. And that's what he would say to you. He would say, Suzanne just never sits down and is still.
Yeah, so would we find you like on the Calm app meditating?
I try, but 30 seconds in, I have to turn the bloody thing off because my mind is like, okay, quick, did you send that email? Did you do this? Did you do that? So that's why when I'm out here, it's a little bit more quiet for my brain, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was actually this morning I said to Dylan before our spin class, I'm just going to go down to the sauna area. So it's a real chill room. Like, there's like plunge pools and sauna and steam. And like this meditation music is always on. And I'm there like, you know, zoning out, but scrolling TikTok ferociously. Like, you know, when do we ever stop? But look, it's part of the game. It's part of our job. So, and I enjoy social media. I really do. I actually find it quite informative these days.
Yeah, it is. You can kind of curate your feed to learn some things and be surrounded by, like, I know you're so interested in motivational speaking, and the things that you share really help your audience. You know, you always share little quotes and things. And you met Jerry Hussey at my book launch, and you were like, is that Jerry?
I know.
Like, because you read his book and everything.
I'm obsessed with him.
What did he say to you? Did he give you any kind of insights that day?
Basically, he introduced myself. His lovely wife Miriam was there as well, and he was just telling me that he had a second book coming, and what did I think of his first book. But one thing we did really kind of, I suppose, talk about for a good couple of minutes was the power of the mind. We did actually speak about that, because I'm a firm believer in trying to be as mentally strong as you possibly can, because everything starts and ends with your thoughts. And he was really, really homing in on that and talking to me about how he, you know, deems illnesses not just to be like in the body, but also like of the inner belief of yourself, and how that can kind of, I suppose, create a knock-on effect through. Oh, look, maybe I'm rambling here, but do you know what I'm trying to say? He just kind of, whatever he speaks in a way where you listen and then you come away with something so like knowledgeable about. And I was like, Jeannie, he's a really intelligent man.
Now that you say that, when I was watching your journey on Dancing with the Stars, so a couple of years ago I had this real rock bottom moment, and I didn't believe in myself, right? So all, like, anyone looking from the outside in at my business would have said, oh, she's doing great. And anytime I meet people, they say to me, oh, you're flying and you're just always on to the next thing. But I had no belief in myself, and I said it to Jamie one night, and he was like, why can't you see all of the great things that you're doing? And he actually wrote me this letter about 6 months ago, and he listed out everything that I've achieved over the last year. And he said, I know that you know these things, but I don't think you've ever seen them all on a list.
That's so insightful. Wow.
And it was so nice, and it really helped me look at things from the outside in.
Yeah.
But when I saw you on Dancing with the Stars, I could see there was a little bit of that in you. So in terms of you wanted to be perfect so much that you were actually
talking myself out of it.
Yeah, you were affecting your experience on the show, and you could see that. And I know you've spoken about that before, but has it made you look at perfection in a different way?
Oh God, yeah. Totally.
And sorry, when I say that, I mean like you were trying so hard to be great.
No, you're right.
That you weren't enjoying the experience.
Completely. By nature, I am I try not to use the word perfectionist anymore since Dancing with the Stars. But by nature, I would have always said I'm a perfectionist. I'm a detailed freak. I always think the devil's in the detail. And for me, anything I put myself into, I pour myself into that, and I want to be the best at it as I can be for myself, not to compete with anyone else there at Dancing with the Stars, because everyone was brilliant for different reasons, but I wanted to compete with myself. I wanted to get better. I wanted to be the best version of me within that competition. So every week, so the first week, obviously, let's bring it back to the Samba, I got really good scores. Week two, I got really good scores, and I was like, oh my God, sugar, like how am I going to keep this up? I'm not going to be able to be really good every week. And I just started to put this immense pressure on myself that I'm not going to be able to be this person they think I am. And I don't, and I also didn't want to be putting that pressure on myself to get good scores every week. I wanted to be on a journey, you know, but like it with anything, if I start it, I throw myself into it. And naturally, if you give something your time, you're going to be good at it. But week three was the blunder, which was the jive, which I literally, my body just stopped on that stage. My mind went blank. So I missed a beat and I just could not get back to it. And it was because I had put this pressure, immense pressure on myself to be perfect. And I just fell on my knees. But do you know what, Georgie? It was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because from there on, it was a climb back to, I suppose, overcome that fear of literally stopping on stage in front of 500,000 people at home on their couch.
Oh my God.
Right? This was so awful. They said it never has happened in Dancing with the Stars Ireland before. So I was like, oh yeah, typical, had to happen to me, you know. But it was the best thing that could have happened. And from there, the amount of support that I got from my followers, other people, RTE, I suppose, viewers at home was saying, God, Suzanne, thank God you're human. And I was like, what? Did people actually see me as this like robot? Like, yeah, you know, because when people are like, oh, okay, finally you're human, Suzanne, now we know you make mistakes. I was like, God, I must be putting out that impression all the time that everything I do is great, when it's not. It takes a lot to be great, but there's a lot of failure along the way. But I suppose it really humbled me, that whole experience, in the sense of, Jesus, Suzanne, just stop trying to constantly be the best at everything and just enjoy it. Be in the moment, be still when you need to be still, live in the moment. And I spoke about this on TV. I said I really struggle about being in the moment, but from that whole experience, it taught me that I have to be that. And then I had to overcome that fear. Like, it was embarrassing. I felt embarrassed.
Yeah.
So embarrassed, because I had such two good weeks, and I knew it was coming. And this is where it comes back to the power of your thoughts. I had this vision of me stopping on stage, so much so that I actually asked the head producer, has this ever happened before? And they said no. And what happened? It happened to me. So I put this out there. I'm a firm believer of that.
Wow.
But a lot of good came from it. And I think it also shows people that it's not really about what happens to you. It's about how you react. It's about how you get back up off the ground, dust yourself off and continue and carry on. And I got to the final and I'm so proud of myself. I only wanted to get as far as the orchestra week, which I think is week eight. And I got to the final. So
yeah, and we were all so proud of you. And I agree, like, and I've spoken about it a lot over the last couple of months, that our problems are our gift and our problems are, you know, what make us grow.
Yeah.
What's the biggest thing you learned about yourself, do you think?
I learned so much. I learned that I'm so hard on myself, and that I don't congratulate or give myself any credit, and that actually I really do struggle with a lot with self-belief. And even though I would have thought that I was confident and I believed in myself, I didn't. Because when I was exposed to something that was completely out of my comfort zone, it just brought back all these raw emotions of what I used to feel. I suppose with all the success that I've had over the years prior to Dancing with the Stars, I was almost numb to it. I was used to being successful. And I know that sounds really cocky, but that's the truth. Because all the papers I ever wrote was how successful I was and my bank balances and what we earned. And you kind of like, you think, yeah, it's great. It's all fine. And you're numb. And I was like, I need to feel again. I really needed to just feel something again, because I felt like I needed to just regroup. I needed to, like, I don't know, just tear off that layer of Suzanne and go again.
Yeah.
And so when the opportunity presented itself, Dancing with the Stars, I was like, yeah, I'm going for it. I want to do something where I'm challenging myself. I'm unlocking a new version of Sue. Maybe I'm even showing a side to me that my followers haven't seen before. You know, that vulnerable Sue who works her ass off that I think sometimes people may forget. Mm. And I think from doing Dancing with the Stars, I've learned that I am a hard worker. I give everything 110%. I've got great family and friends and supporters around me. And that, you know, what will be, but at the same time, I do think if you work hard, you will do well, but also just be so mindful of your thoughts. Because look at what happened for me, overthinking that was going to happen.
You put that out there and then that happened.
Yeah, it's true.
It looks anyway that everything you touch turns to gold.
Yeah, and people always say this to me, that one line that you've just said.
Really?
I always say it to me, yeah.
Do you fear losing it all or have you gone past that point?
No, I always fear losing it all. Always, yeah. I don't think you ever fully lose that fear, even if you're a billionaire, you know, because I think Drake also referenced that in one of his acceptance speeches, that, you know, the worry of losing it all and not knowing where you're going to end up is actually what plants the fire in your belly to keep going. And that's it. Like once you make it, and for me to make it, it was to have an international brand, to be in the millions in terms of turnover, and to have a big, huge team underneath me and to be financially free. That was my level. That was my definition of success. So that to me is that I have it, but I could lose it tomorrow. And for many reasons, I don't know, you know what I mean? It's a very saturated market. It's harder than ever before to sell product now because there's so many beauty brands out there. Mm. And of course, you know, with that becomes dilution, you know? So of course I worry about that. But at the same time, every entrepreneur does. But it is about, I suppose, trying to in some way proof a future for yourself that that doesn't happen. But if it does, I mean, I'm a big believer of I'll deal with whatever comes my way and I'll always claw my way back up no matter what happens.
Because we know you well and, you know, often when we go out, people would ask us about you or, you know, what's Suzanne like? And the one thing Jamie always says, which I think is such a credit to you, is that you are so fussy about your product.
Oh. If my team are listening to this, they're going to be going, oh yeah, big nod in the heads. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're not just putting your name to anything.
No.
You are.
I'm a nightmare for
involved.
My team.
I hope you're enjoying Suzanne on The Good Glow. And I'm really excited for you to hear my last question to her about the greatest gift the universe has ever given her. Firstly, though, I wanted to take the opportunity to thank ReproMed for supporting The Good Glow this season. A fertility journey is so personal, and ReproMed pride themselves in taking compassionate interest in your care. Having spent time with the team, I know they will provide you with everything you need to know about treatment options in a safe, supportive, and honest environment. ReproMed has invested significantly in the past 3 years in their state-of-the-art laboratory to give their patients the best chance of success and are trusted and recommended by maternity hospitals and GPs throughout Ireland. Visit ReproMed.ie for more.
So tell me about then, do you feel seen? Like, you know, it would be very hard for you to meet somebody who has a life just like you, like say Pippa, for example.
Yeah,
right. We love Pippa.
Mm.
And you've always been kind of pitted against her, haven't you, in terms of the media? But it's not like that, right?
Not at all. Like, it's actually, I only bumped into Pippa over here last year, towards the end of last year, and we were chatting away and we ended up having a glass of wine together. And
did you?
Yeah, we just randomly bumped into each other, had a glass of wine. And I was like, isn't it funny? Everyone at home thinks that we hate each other. And like, here we are having a glass of wine, you know? But no, and that's the thing with the industry, Georgie. Everyone's pitted against each other. And of course, competition, there's competition out there, but there's room at the table for everybody. And like, I would never, ever, ever be like, ugh, you know, like that towards anybody. So with Pippa as well, we laughed about it together, you know, but she's a lovely girl and she's in a very different field to me. But we're always pitted against each other and we're totally two different people with two different lives, two different brands, you know.
But also very similar in terms of how down to earth you've both stayed.
Yeah, Pippa, and that's one thing I'll say about Pippa. She's sound, like she's so, so down to earth. Like even at the award ceremonies and all, we'd have a bit of crack. Like she's she's gash, good fun.
Yeah, and I don't think you can get away with much in Ireland. So no. I think, you know, when I look at you and Pippa, I'm like, the reason that you've stayed successful is because you're nice people.
Yeah, it's very true. And do you know what? I always say this, I'm 13 years in the industry. If I was trying to, you know, just do anything for money, or I was trying to do things, you know, from not a good place, I wouldn't still be here 13 years later. Mm. You know, I try my best. Of course, I'm not perfect. Nobody is. I've made mistakes along the way, but you just learn from them, move forward.
Tell me about, and as well there, just to, on the Pippa point, I think you both really value family,
yes,
which is why I think that you're so similar. Tell me about personal ambitions over the next 3 years, because I don't normally like to ask people these sort of questions, you know, what's next, and and but when you, when it comes to you personally, like we all know you adore your family, they're the center of your world, but you personally for the next 3 years,
well, we're definitely talking about coming out here a little bit more long term for sure. Portugal's on the agenda for us to, I don't like the word retire, I'll never retire, I'm sure the journalists will pick up on this, Suzanne retires in Portugal but like I'd love to live out here for definitely, you know, like 6 to 8 months of the year. So we're trying to find a property out here at the moment, which is very difficult because the prices are through the roof and I will not pay for something that is overpriced. So that's one of my personal goals, I suppose. But another one is to try and get a little bit more into making better choices, like better fitness choices, better food choices, and even surrounding myself with really good people. And then other than that, I mean, who knows? I don't have any major plans, but I kind of just, since Dancing with the Stars, I'm going with the flow, not thinking too far ahead. I'm kind of just organically moving into new things, like Talking as Medicine. We spoke a little bit about that before we came on air, but yeah, nothing major, Georgie. I just want to enjoy me time, get out of my business mind that I was in for so many years, which you almost become programmed to think constantly with a business mind. Enjoy my life with Dylan and see where the wind takes us.
Do you think there's well, of course there is. It's probably a stupid question, but there is life after the beauty industry for you, right?
Yeah, for me, I kind of feel a little bit burnt out from the beauty world because I was 8 years building that brand and it was me very much heavily involved in the day-to-day running of the business. And when you're running a business, you become bogged down in so much mundane stuff that just almost kills your talent. It kills your flair, you know, your creativity leaves your body. And that's another reason why I took Dancing with the Stars. But I kind of just became programmed to like this. It was just stress all the time. And business is stress all the time, but it was just growing so big so fast, we couldn't keep up with ourselves. So for me, I kind of lost a little bit of love for it, and I'm getting that back now, but I don't think I'll ever have the full love for it ever again. You know, I love beauty and I love my brands and I'm so proud of them, but is it something I want to continue with forever? Probably not. No,
that's big for you to say.
I know. I just think there's so much other things that I'm interested in now. I've changed, Georgie. Like I'm in this industry 13, 14 years. I've changed every 3-4 years as a person. I'm getting older. I'm becoming more in tune with me, myself, my mind, my body. And I don't know. I love beauty. Don't get me wrong. I love my products. I'm so proud of it. But I don't know. Something else is there for me. It's just scratching. It's itching me. It's like this new thing that I know I'm going to get stuck into that I don't know what it is just yet, but it's on the dawn.
And I think that's really interesting that you say that, right? Because sometimes we can get into the cycle. So when I was in radio, it was all I wanted to do, or all I thought I wanted to do. So I was going around and around in circles. Mm. So you're going around and around in the beauty industry.
Yeah.
But you're curious. So you're curious. Opening your mind to new things. Like you want to understand, I suppose, the wellness world.
Exactly.
And what I thought was really interesting is that you asked me and your team asked me to speak at one of your workshops.
Yeah.
And you're bringing in how you feel on the inside. It's not only about how you look on the outside.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about. Beauty at the end of the day. And I'm like a big advocate for my supplements that I take every morning. My followers will know, like we have our routine. We used to have our 5 a.m. club and then I fell off the am I gonna I'm like, no, I get up at 7:30 now. I can't be getting up at 5 anymore. I was wrecked by 3. But it is an element of that. You're curious, you're opening yourself up, and you know, there's so many more, I suppose, topics that have become of interest, I suppose, in the last 3 to 4 years from different podcasts, different books. I'm just curious by nature. I don't like to get still or like bored and or just like stay in the same room of an industry. And for me, beauty and tan, I feel like I've done it now. I'm like, right, what's next? That's how I feel. I'm like, okay, while we're not Fenty Beauty or you know, MAC, I never really wanted to be that big anyway, because that's another little scale of business. I wanted to be an Irish brand that did really, really well, that was a very good, luxurious product for affordable price, to kind of make people feel good. But also, on the back of that, I now understand that feeling good comes from the inside. But also, I do believe when you look good, you feel good as well. So they kind of marry, they're married, they marry each other. But for now, I really am more interested in the wellness space for me, definitely. And not just from like a fitness and diet element, the mind. The mind is the be all and end all of everything. And I feel like we have to nurture that and mind that. And there's so many ways we can do that.
Yeah. And talking is medicine. And we're going to, I spoke about it in the intro there. And it's such an amazing thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
Does that come from an experience of like you feeling down? Because I feel like your go-to is happy, chirpy. You're kind of like me in that way. Like my go-to is morning. Yeah. Like, you know, let's live life.
Yeah.
But have you been down? Do you get down?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely felt it just before Dancing with the Stars. I think last year was when I really just started to feel down. Something was missing, you know, and that's when I kind of threw myself into fitness. I needed to just go to a different place and I suppose just sort my head out. You know, I was really burnt out. And then from doing that, and then from reading books and listening to podcasts, yours included, I just kind of thought, you know what, there's a bigger fish to fry here, and there's other interests that I have that I want to tap into. But I do get sad all the time, and there's days I don't even want to come online, and sometimes I might be absent for a day or two and people are like, oh, you okay? I'm like, yeah, just having a down day, or having had a row with Dylan, or I didn't feel great, you know. But I get sad all the time, and I think that's the thing that I would struggle with, that people would know, is that I suppose when you're constantly on a high and you're constantly, you know, you have a successful business and you're doing good, people don't expect that you might be sad. But sometimes that makes me sad, because I almost feel like responsible for like a big team of people, their livelihoods. I don't know. I can't describe it, but something was just recently, just something was just triggering me to help people. And I know that sounds probably a little bit bizarre coming from me, but I was just felt compelled with my profile and all my connections and the young women and men of Ireland in particular who would message me every day that are just not feeling themselves. And I think this has come from COVID times as well, that were down on their knees. Some were suicidal, coming to me on my Instagram. And I was like, God, there's something bigger here that I need to do. And I'm really interested in like healing therapies. I'm really interested in like, you know, spirituality. I'm really interested in tarot cards. I'm a little bit of a genie, you know, in my own little way. Yes. Like, I love this kind of element of things. Like, I love it. It fascinates me. So I kind of just thought one day, God, what can I do to help these people? Because they're coming to me for advice, so they respect me. But how can I give back? And I'm not a professional to give advice around depression, anxiety, whatever it might be that people are suffering, but even some people that were suicidal. So I said, right, okay, I need to do something. And then I kind of thought about it and I kind of let it sink in, and Talking as Medicine was born. So the idea originally was an Instagram page for people to come as a community to kind of feel uplifted and remember how capable they are by, you know, quotes and videos. And that stuff really does work. I know it's so small, but it works. And then from there, I kind of over the last year, I've been developing a website. And that's really the last 6 months, getting a team of my friends roped in, because obviously it's 100% funded by me personally. So I wanted to kind of bring people in that want to help other people. So the whole idea of Talking as Medicine is it's a website that you sign up to a community. You get a newsletter twice a month from professionals, from people that specialize within their field, whether that's sleep, anxiety, depression, ADHD, polycystic ovaries, fitness, you name it. We've lined up about 50 people so far, and it's going to be amazing. So yeah, that's the start of it. We don't know where it's going to go, but I think it's going to be something that I'm interested in, and the follower or my reader gets something from it. And
And you don't do things by halves.
No, I don't. That's the bloody problem. So like my sister Katie is doing the social media for me and I'm like correcting, you know, she's sending me in other stuff for approval for the moment.
Yeah.
I'm a big approver. And I'm like, okay, just a little circle there, a dot here, maybe. And she's like, Suzanne, this is ridiculous. And I'm like, sorry, I'm a perfectionist. But no, I throw myself into things and talking as medicine is going to help people. For that, I'm sure of.
And I think I was listening to Simon Sinek a while ago and he was saying, just trying so hard to get him for the podcast. But he was saying, and I thought this is really interesting, right? So Stephen Bartlett was saying that, you know, I have this friend and I've been trying to help them and they just won't help themselves. And, you know, do I just turn around and tell that person now, well, sorry, I can't help you anymore. And Simon Sinek was like, let me just think about this. And I really respected him because I think sometimes you can just get railroaded into giving an answer. But he was like, I need to think about this. And then he said, not everybody needs your help. Some people need to be empowered to help other people. So that started me thinking about my cancer journey. And 8 weeks after being diagnosed with cancer and everyone was reaching out and bouquet after bouquet was like landing on my door. And I didn't know how to receive that much help or that much support. So what I did with the little power that I had left within was, okay, I need to help other people. And that's how I coped with my cancer journey, was to help other people. And some people, of course, it's okay just to receive the help and that's the way they get through it. But for me, I had to give back. And I think that's like what you're saying there, you know, going into that new chapter and you were burnt out, actually getting through that has been easier for you because you've turned it into helping other people.
Exactly that. That's exactly, you know, it. I went into a complete burnout. I then took Dancing with the Stars on because I probably in one way wanted to just take my mind off everything that I was just down. I don't know. I just wasn't myself. And so when I took that opportunity, no, don't bear in mind, I was just after getting into the gym. And like I said, I was feeling good, but I was really starting to understand my thoughts. I was like, oh, okay, Suzanne, your head's not in a good place here. You know what I mean? So you need to work on you. And that's when I started to kind of eat better and get into the gym with Dylan. And I loved it. And I was really working. So when Dancing with the Stars came, I kind of wanted that to almost, what's the word? You know when someone puts a defibrillator on them?
Yeah.
And they move. Yes. I wanted to be like reborn in a way. Yes. And I know that sounds ridiculous and over the top, but I felt like I was just numb. That's how I felt. I can't describe it any other way. And I needed to feel again. And then when I took that opportunity, here we are. And now look at how it's transformed and aligned itself now into this Talking as Medicine platform. And it's completely free of charge. It's funded 100% by me. It is not a money-making thing or anything like that. Yeah. It's simply to help other people. And I love the feeling of that. And even with my own friends, my own family, I am the agony aunt. They all come to me for advice because they know I'm honest. I'm direct, sometimes a little bit too direct. But I am the one to kind of give you the advice. And sometimes platforms like Talking as Medicine is giving somebody that jug or that jig that they need. Yeah. To wake up and evolve and empower yourself and let's become a better version of you. And yeah, that's what life is all about.
Wow, because I think it's such a lesson for people that you can have all the money in the world.
Yeah.
But actually when you give back, when you be of service,
yeah,
that's the real reward, yeah, in life. That's
absolutely
the real purpose. And that's the path that you're on. I feel like it's your next chapter.
It's my next chapter. And that's what my mum said, because I am the strong one all the time for everybody and my friends, my family. I'm always just the one that people come to because I am very strong by nature and like nothing will break me. But this for me is the next chapter and I am so excited to help other people, and that I know in return is going to make me feel amazing. And yeah, which, and I'm not looking for anything in return, but I know it's going to feel good and I, yeah, can't wait.
And I love like videos that you put up of you like playing the flute and doing that side dance that you do. I think Katie put up a video the other day of playing a prank on your dad.
Oh,
which was
stuff. Katie comes into the kitchen. Dad, Andrew Bocelli, whatever his name is, Bocelli, is dead, 53, my dad. Stop. you're joking me.
That's so, would you do a reality TV show with your family?
No, never. Because they're fucking, they'd have their popcorn out 7 nights a week. My family's mad. No, God, no. Jesus, Dancing with the Stars is enough reality for me. No, RTE have been on to me about potentially, you know, being new talent for them and, you know, what can we do together? So I'm sure there'll be something on the horizon, but it's not going to be Meet the Jacksons anyway. That's for sure.
Please, just give
it. I think it would rate very high if it did, because our family is nuts. Like, we're crazy.
Yeah,
like,
you know? Suzanne, it would be like the number one show.
Good night. Could feckin' be mad.
Do you turn to your mum or your dad for advice?
My mum. So I love my mom and dad equally. They're the best. Like,
I love them equally.
Sorry, Dad, I love you too. But no, my mom, because my mom's very like me. Like, Jesus, if you want an answer, and you're sensitive to it, but you know you need it, you ask my mother. She's like me. She'll just give it to you how it is. She doesn't sugarcoat it. She doesn't go around beat it around a bush. She'll just tell you how it is, and she's always right, my mom. But if I want advice, I go to her.
Really? Because I would have thought, I was totally expecting to say your dad, because you're such a daddy's girl.
My dad's going to love me, and like, my mom loves me as well, right? But my dad's like, yeah, Suzanne, he thinks I'm the best thing since sliced bread. You know what I mean? He's my dad, you know? My mom, she thinks I'm a wagon, you know? She's like, you're not doing enough of this, you're not doing enough of that. Like, she keeps me on my toes, my mom, you know? But I know it's tough love with my mom, and that's good. I like tough love. So with my mom, I know when I need the answer that I don't want, but I know it's the right one, I go to my mom. If I want the answer that I want, but I know it's not the right one, I go to my dad. Like, even that time with the Dancing with the Stars blunder, I was just on my knees with that one. And I went to my mom and I was like, you know, what am I going to do? She's like, you're not quitting anyway. You're going there. You're going back there. You're going in next week. That's the end of it. You're not going to quit, Suzanne. You're not a quitter. So she's very like that, you know. And that's what you need. You need someone kind of giving you the harsh truth sometimes, you know.
I think I'm going to wrap it up now, because I just love chatting to you. I could sit here
all day.
I know. But we're sitting on two single beds in your beautiful villa, and it's just been so amazing. Okay, leave us with a mantra or an affirmation. Or
I believe in myself, and I am welcoming all that is coming to me from the universe.
Suzanne,
trust the universe, girls and guys. That's what I always say. Trust the universe. It has your back.
What's the biggest gift the universe ever gave you?
Dylan. Yeah, he's my yin to my yang, because you know what? I'm so hyper a mile a minute, and he's so chill and quiet, and I couldn't be without him. Like, we're literally polar opposites, but he is the person that can quiet my mind, and he feels like home. He's my safe place.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Thank you, universe.
I'm so happy for you.
No, I might be saying different in an hour's time.
Well, thank you so much, Suzanne. You're so good.
Thank you, Georgie.
So there you have it, the first episode with Suzanne Jackson. I hope you enjoyed it. It's really exciting. I think there's lots of exciting things to come in Suzanne's world. And I've left a link for Talking Is Medicine in the episode show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the follow button wherever you're listening to your podcast, because that is the best way that you can support me. And thanks to ReaperMed as well for supporting the Good Glow this season. I'll talk to you guys next week.